Welcome to Alien Theories Theorizing. We're a bunch of like-minded individuals who just like to put out maximum effort. And get ready for another Power Hour! Do we have music for that?
Oh, yeah. Wait, I forgot. I played the wrong song.
It was anticlimactic.
Here we go!
There we go.
That's how you start the show.
That's the Woo! Fucking
yeah!
Feel it. Feel
it. Oh, my lats are on fire right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Feel it all the way down my glutes.
Yes. Oh, it's been so long since we've done a Power Hour.
It's been like
too long.
God,
too long.
Goddamn pod week, I think, was actually the last Power Hour.
It was. Yeah. So we decided we've all had a couple beers and we're like, you know what? It's about due time for another fucking Power Hour.
It's peak summer. It's like fucking million degrees everywhere.
Yeah.
Listen, so. I'm pretty sure I'm still hungover from Pod Week, so this was hard.
One game of Dungeons and Dragons puts you down for
Buddy,
rolling 9 months.
Ones, bro. Rolling ones, getting one stars, doing it all.
Good time.
Fuck yeah.
Oh. I'm Braden.
I'm Zell.
I'm Dan.
And I'm really excited to talk about Jeff, the talking mongoose.
I am excited to hear this, too. You've been pumping this Jeff guy up for a long time.
Listen, I got a fucking bone to pick, too, because you want to know what they wanted to name this, people? They wanted to name it Obscure Cryptids. Let me tell you something, brother. Ain't nothing obscure about Jeff, the talking mongoose, if you know what I mean.
I've never heard of Jeff talking.
We don't. We don't know what you mean.
Because I'm a learned
Jeff is 100% obscure.
Well, we'll see. We'll see next time he takes home the fucking Cryptid Crutch-a-thon championship.
Is he? We're putting him in the ring for the next one, or?
I mean, he'll be a dark horse for sure. I mean,
yeah,
whatever.
Dark horse. Yeah. Yeah,
buddy. Put him up against any type of fucking snake, big, small, doesn't matter. Toast.
If you put him in the Royal Rumble, then maybe like you know people will step over him. They might miss him.
Buddy, he'd be like Rey Mysterio, sneaky good, like 619 and fuckers. You wouldn't see him coming.
All right, if you're
give us a little rundown.
If you're just
of,
tuning in, who the fuck is Jeff the Mongoose?
Yeah,
who's no, listen, Jeff this the is Mongoose? Not, this isn't good though. Why are we doing this for Power Hour? I've had way too much to drink already.
That's why it was originally going to be.
That's why we know it's good.
It was originally going to be cryptids that were like weird cryptids, and then
who aren't obscure,
and then you drank 4 or 5 whatever drinks you got going. And then now it's devolved into Jeff the Talking Mongoose. And if we're done, we got time for more cryptids.
The funny thing is that Andrew says he's an obscure cryptid, but I have 100% heard of Jeff the Mongoose. Like that's probably one of the first weird kind of cryptids that I heard about when I was a kid, like reading through, you know, cryptid books and all that junk. But I've heard of Jeff the Mongoose when he was like, have you ever heard of Jeff the Talking Mongoose? I'm like, yeah. I have actually.
I thought you made him up.
I thought he was making it up.
It's a real thing.
Dude, it's pretty common. Like, we've already got a talking mongoose on this podcast. It's common.
Yeah.
You guys just don't know enough about it.
I guess
not. Yeah, well, let's learn about him.
Fill me in.
Oh, I just dusted my fucking phone with vodka soda.
I've already spilled beer on my keyboard, so you know it's a good night.
This is a mess.
All right.
So, Jeff the Talking Mongoose, where does this take place? You're wondering. I bet you that's exactly what you're wondering. So the story takes place in the Isle of Man, which is an island located between Ireland and Great Britain.
What? Sounds of Isle of Man.
Flannan Isles.
God, Isle of Man.
Buddy, Rutland Barbell should change their name.
It should be the Isle of Gains. Anyways. So you're probably already wondering. You're like, Isle of Man. Between Ireland and Great Britain, that doesn't really make a lot of sense for a fucking mongoose to be hanging out in Northern Europe. And that makes a lot of sense because mongooses are actually native to Southern Eurasia, Africa, the Middle East, a little place that we like to call Lebanon. You know, get a
yes,
lot of
but
Lebanese
what about minx?
There. So, Dan,
and other
drop
assorted
your smart
various,
shit after I'm done.
Just members of the Hesperidae family.
Ixnay on the smart shit.
Hey, save the smart shit. The fucking guy who's a talking mongoose told me he's a mongoose. I'm going to take him for his word. I'm going to believe him. All right? So anyways, so it put me down a little bit of a rabbit hole. Not looking into Manx, But I guess it was extremely popular to bring in mongooses to, and it's not mongeese, it's mongooses. That's right.
That's the real plural.
That's the fucking way. That's the plural. It's not mongeese, it's mongooses. To bring mongooses into these island climates who have invasive species, like in this case in the Isle of Man, it was rabbits, right? They brought them into Hawaii too, but it actually, like, the problem with mongooses is they're opportunistic hunters, right? So they won't just come in there and take out the rabbits. They basically will feed on whatever the fuck is easy and convenient.
Okay.
So they themselves become invasive, and like that's why they're
so they're banned. Lazy scavengers. That's what you're saying.
You better fucking watch it, Dan. That's the second time coming here with this Manx shit. Lazy, opportunistic.
That's a fancy word.
I mean, like rats. I mean,
it's a fancy word for lazy.
They're not in the rat
disrespect.
Family.
Disrespect.
You know what, Dan? You're being
people.
You're being a real buddy right now.
Yeah. Hey, listen, buddy. How many rats do you see go toe to toe with a fucking cobra and win?
Listen, friend.
Zero.
I mean, that cobra is already.
What if I can find a video of a rat beating a cobra right now? Rat versus cobra.
Buddy, as we know, rats couldn't even fucking beat a pickle. Pickle beat the shit out of a bunch of rats.
Mother rat saves baby from snake.
Boom. Yeah, saves it, and it's a bitch-ass snake. It's probably like a gardener snake. It's not no fucking cobra. Anyway.
No, and what comes up is I get cobra versus rat snake. That's not what I'm looking for.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, well, anyway, you're off. You're off the hook. Mongoose it is.
Continue.
We're on the Isle of Man. All right. It's September 1931 in the Isle of Man. Story kind of revolves around the Irving family, which was a family of sheep farmers, that lived in this area called the Dorish Kishin. Dan might have a better pronunciation of that. I don't fucking know.
Nope.
Sounds good.
The family consisted of the father, James, the mother, Margaret, and the daughter, Voiri. Now there's a bunch of different ways to pronounce her name. Either way, it's a fucking weird name. Voiri. That's the one I kept coming back to.
Sure.
Voiri. So Voiri was an extremely isolated child. She lived, you know what I mean, by herself, didn't have any friends, and liked to keep to herself. And she did that shit on purpose. One day, Voiri reported seeing this strange animal hanging around the chicken coop. And now when the family were like, hey, what was this animal? They're like, kind of looked like a weasel, but not really like a weasel. It was yellow, weird. I've never really seen an animal like that. Definitely didn't look like a fucking rat, Dan.
Okay, no rat.
All right.
Could look like a mink, though. I don't know.
Mink. Maybe. Mink.
Rat versus mink.
Like, it looks similar.
Mongooses and minks actually do a lot of look alike. But I'm telling you what, you don't see any mongoose fucking coats because they can't catch them. They're too badass. So soon after noticing this mysterious weasel-like creature, the family started hearing these bizarre sounds coming from their walls. And obviously, at first, they assumed, like, okay, it's probably some type of rat or whatever, you know what I mean? So the dad, James, started setting up all these traps. And they'd put food in these traps, and they'd notice that the food was missing.
See, traps?
You know what I mean? But he wasn't setting out any of the traps. Kind of like the traps that are hanging out right fucking around Brayden's neck there. You see those fucking things? No mice on those shoulders. Too many traps.
Ooh.
All right, anyway. So the food's missing from these traps, and they're still hearing these noises. And like these noises are like nothing they've heard before. The dad kind of compares it to like the sounds of a baby crying. Like it's, you know what I mean? It's super high pitch, weird. They don't know what the fuck's going on. Traps aren't working. So one day the dad's like, okay, you know what? Maybe if I start making animal noises, I'll scare this thing out of the fucking
walls.
Let
me tell you, fuck a weekend at Rutland Barbell, they'd be working.
Buddy. We can have Brutland Barbell, and all you'd have to do is flex at that fucking thing and it'd be running right out of there.
Gone.
Wouldn't want nothing to do with you. Anyways. So he starts making these animal sounds to scare away this fucking whatever it is inside these walls. And all of a sudden he starts hearing whatever is in the walls mimicking exactly the noises he's making. And he's like, that's super fucking weird, right? What the hell could do that? So after a while, he tried talking to this fucking thing. And it started answering him. At first, it was only mimicking. He would say the words he was saying, and then it started answering his, like he'd ask it questions. Then it was you know, all of a sudden starting to answer the question he's asking. And now, you know, I know I might not look at it, but I actually come from a long, illustrious line of Irishmen. Okay. So I'd like to try and think what this conversation would have fucking came as. You know what I mean? Like, what would this have sounded like?
Papa, what is that?
Who the fuck is that? Who does he fucking think he is?
I'm just Jeff the Mongoose. It's not a big fucking deal. I'm just hanging on your walls. It's a treat. It's not a big deal.
He's talking out of the wall?
Well, I don't know who the fuck you think you are, but you're not living in my fucking walls rent-free, all right, buddy?
And that's it, because it's a joke.
Fuck. I'm Irish from cheap.
That's it.
It's a good Irish accent.
I was just about to take a recline.
Fuck, I thought we were streaming with Colin Farrell. God damn. Yeah.
No, God. Colin Farrell, that's my Conor McGregor. Not great. That's what I threw in. Who the fuck is this? Who the fuck does this guy think he is, huh?
That's Colin Farrell.
That's good. I thought it was Colin Farrell too.
I mean, that's my Colin Farrell, obviously.
Yeah. You could have just pulled up a picture of Colin Farrell, put it on the screen, and everyone would have been like, how'd they get him on?
How'd they get him on the show?
You don't think I already look like him?
Fucking clout, dog.
I'm pretty sure I look like him already, but it's fine. Whatever. No, apparently I look like fucking Sucre from Prison Break.
Who's Dude, I'm fucking hammered already.
Okay, so we got talking
in the walls.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, it goes from mimicking these animal noises he's making to having full-blown fucking conversations with him.
Wait, the talking mongoose, there's a mongoose now talking out of his out of the walls.
Yeah, he's talking to them now. He's able to, he's picked up English, and now he's talking to them. And so they've noticed
Is he paying rent?
Huh?
Is he paying rent at this point, or?
Well, I'll fucking tell you what, boyo. If he's not paying rent, he's going to be on a fucking menu. I don't give a shit if he's a weasel.
It probably happened after the dad was like, stop copying me.
Yeah.
I'm stupid. You're stupid.
I know what you are, but what am I?
So, oh, you got me a fucking gun.
You think you're funny, don't you, boyo? Who do you think you fucking are?
I'll fucking get you, you little fucking weasel.
I'll fight you for it.
So anyways, so once it started speaking English, they noticed that it kind of took in a little bit of a fancy to their daughter, Voiri, and it only really liked talking to her. So they were kind of game planning. They're like, okay, it's weird. Why does this weirdo mongoose thing have a, you know, thing for a daughter? Let's move her because he seems to talk to her a lot in her room when she's by herself. So they attempt to move her. And then they hear coming from the walls,
I'll follow her wherever you take her.
And they're like, oh, that's fucking weird, man. That's you know what I mean?
Fucking
and then
Jeff's a creep.
Oh, exactly. And then when that shit happened, he got poltergeisty and he paranormally activated a fucking pot and smashed it against the wall. Right? Yeah.
Jeff did this.
How the fuck do they know it's a mongoose at this point? Or are they just
they
hearing?
They don't.
They don't yet. Okay, no, so right now they're assuming this is a ghost.
So they're just going on Jeff's word that he's a mongoose.
No, he hasn't even told him he's a mongoose yet.
So right now, like in their head, there's voice. And they hear the fucking, they probably hear the little scurrying or whatever the fucking.
Little fucking mongoose noises. Just,
yeah.
You know, and then, so the voice then began telling them that he was a ghost in the shape of a mongoose and he would follow them even if they moved. No matter what the fuck they did, they signed on for life. You're getting paranormally activated by a fucking ghost mongoose.
You're getting Jeff.
Jeff follows you his whole life.
Named fucking Jeff. So over the next several months, he became less threatening. He began telling them kind of about, you know, the story of his origin, where he's from. He introduced himself as Jeff, the talking mongoose, who is 85 years old and originally from India. Now, I know what you're thinking. A mongoose 85 years old? That's fucking crazy.
Seems crazy.
You know what?
Yep.
It's fine that he's talking, but he's 85 years old. Get the fuck out of town. Mongooses only live to like maybe 20. Anyways, so Jeff told him, it's like, I'm actually a real mongoose. I'm not a ghost. I'm not a spirit. I'm just a fucking clever mongoose.
I feel like
Redwall up in this shit.
Hey, listen, he's clever as shit. He's clever as shit because apparently he knew several languages, including sign language. He loved sign language.
Is that his claim, or did people? Yeah.
He told them.
He doesn't have shit.
He doesn't have enough fingers to do sign language.
Hey, don't worry about it, okay? And he loved Italian opera, would leave for several days, going around the neighborhood, gathering up all this fucking hot goss, and coming back to the Irving's house and fucking dishing it. Let them know that Betty Joanne fucking two doors down is having an affair with the fucking milkman. Jeff the Mongoose is filling them in. They know.
Okay, so Jeff has a you know, hankering for hot gossip, that we know that now, and he speaks several languages.
So the news of Jeff the Talking Mongoose spread fast. You know what I mean? People are like, "What the fuck are you talking about? You got a talking mongoose? That's crazy."
What the fuck are you talking about?
Huh? What was that?
Isn't that the same accent? Pretty close. That's my Colin Farrell. It's not as good.
So within like a month of this experience, the local newspaper kind of caught on and was like, "Hey, we got to fucking, we got to get onto this. We got to get a story."
They're like, "It's a slow news day. We need to
put you know what, though? Dan, it's fucking hilarious that you say that, but this is fucking 1931. Can you not think of some other shit that should be in the newspaper around this time? Maybe some up and coming events coming from fucking Germany.
Yeah. It's also that. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's what's hilarious about this.
Man, what else is going on? It's fucking isolated from nowhere. Middle of fucking nowhere.
So all these reporters like, would show up.
Forget the Nazis. We got bigger fish to fly. Someone's news, just claiming, man, the mongoose have become clever.
Who are you printing about this tiny little cunt named Hitler? Like, no, I'll talk about this Jeff the fucking mongoose.
Like, yeah, fucking right.
We're not going to give that Hitler the time of day.
So a bunch of reporters would stop by the house and be like, "We want to get this is a fucking hot scoop. Forget fucking the Nazis. Forget Hitler. Forget World War fucking
Jeff.
Right on the brink. We got to get on this fucking
all
story.
About Jeff. Just Jeff.
About Jeff." So these reporters would show up and no luck. Jeff's like, "Fuck these guys. I'm not talking to them. You know what I mean? It's not my thing." The only time a reporter reported hearing anything to do with Jeff was when he was outside of the room and the only person in the room was Voiri, and he could see Voiri, and she was covering her mouth like this. And then he was reported hearing Jeff saying something along the lines of, "I don't fucking trust these guys. I'm not talking to them. Fuck them." Something along those lines. Okay.
Oh, dude.
Okay. I'm sure that's super accurate.
It's fucking verbatim, like word for word. So word reached the National Laboratory of Psychological Research, who sent one of their representatives to investigate the situation, which this guy's name was Captain McDonald. Guy heads out there.
Is he like a ship captain? Probably.
Must be. So they sent him over there, spends an entire fucking day trying to investigate this guy. Nothing. You know what I mean? Doing all this stuff, lighting the fucking candles, doing all the crazy shit, probably playing demon board or whatever you got to do.
Got to do it.
Got to exorcise the demons. No luck. The wife, Martha, I think Margaret or Martha, Margaret, decides to, you know, "Hey, I got to go.
What did you say? Say that name again. Say that name again."
Dan, why are you laughing? You said you never watched that movie.
Yeah, but
you
I
said
know
you never
that
watched
part.
It.
I've never watched it, but I know about that. I know about that.
You secretly watched it.
No, I'll never watch that movie.
In any time someone says Martha, that should be said right after.
Martha. So, anyways, it's not Margaret.
I got a question.
It's not Martha, it's Margaret.
When does he turn violent? I know the story is turning violent. What happens with Jeff the Mongoose?
He only keeps it like poltergeisty.
Like throwing knives?
Like throwing shit.
Throwing knives?
He just likes throwing shit.
Okay.
He throws a needle.
Wow. Okay. Oh, shit. Oh, yeah. Oh, it's violent.
Crossing the line.
So, anyway, so this Captain McDonald's like trying whatever he can do to try and summon fucking Jeff the Talking Mongoose. No dice. Margaret's like, "Hey, listen, I'm going to go get some fucking groceries. You know what I mean? Get some tea, whatever, some crumpets. We can give you a nice spread. Everything will be good." She leaves. And when she leaves is when fucking something goes down, believe it or not. You hear fucking Jeff the Mongoose radiating from the walls. "Go away, don't come back." And then he's like, "Oh, that's fucking, you know, that's bizarre." And then all the fucking dishes in the kitchen start shaking. And a pot, again, goes flying across the room and smashes. Right? So for Captain McDonald's like, "All right, maybe there's something going on here." Or maybe he's pretty smart and was like, "Okay, somebody's missing from this fucking scenario. Obviously, something fishy's going on." So anyways, so Captain McDonald leaves for the day, comes back the next day, and James meets him at the door, and he's like, listen, I talked to Jeff, all right? He's willing to come to the fucking table, but, you know, he's got a few demands, right? He wants you to provide Voiri with a brand new gramophone, whatever the fuck that is.
That's, I think it's like a record player.
It's like the original record player. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So he's like, you provide the shit, you bring the shit, and Jeff's going to talk to you. All right. So you know what? He's like, all right. Seems like a fair trade. Let's do it.
For a hot scoop. Yeah, that's a fair trade.
Yeah.
Fair trade. Same shit. Hot scoop.
Exact same scenario. Doesn't say anything until somebody leaves the room. Voiri goes upstairs and isn't seen. She's like, listen, hey, listen, Captain McDonald, don't worry about it. It's fine. I'm going to go upstairs. I'm going to go try and coax him out because he's scared of you. So she goes upstairs and all of a sudden, Jeff starts fucking, he's coming, he's trying to listen to us. And that's all fucking Captain McDonald says. That concluded his visit, right? So already you're like, this is kind of fucking weird. You know what I mean? Like nobody other than this family has witnessed or been able to talk to this guy, right?
Except the little girl.
Suspicious. Well, and the parents claim to be able to talk to this guy too. Oh, okay. But he's taken a fancy to the daughter, right? So for the next fucking several years, they kind of keep cataloging their experiences with Jeff and keep messaging this Captain McDonald. And like they, you know what I mean? They start explaining, like they're starting to kind of have a bond with Jeff.
Where did Jeff take shits?
In the walls.
That's disgusting.
He's a ghost. Yeah.
He's fucking that house up, man.
Oh yeah, man. Jeff. No, they do say that they found like mongoose urine and shit like that. But anyways, so they, over the next few years, they start cataloging all their fucking encounters with Jeff, and they explain that, you know what, he's actually become part of the family. He's a, you know what I mean, he's like family. It's Jeff. It's Jeff. It's one of the boys. It's all good. And they keep messaging this Captain McDonald trying to get him to come back. All while this is going, Jeff the Talking Mongoose has picked up more traction. He's gotten super popular, and people, like tourists, are coming and trying to fucking, like, they're trying to get in and take a tour and, you know, visit this mongoose and want to kind of get paranormally activated. Don't ask me why a bunch of fucking people like Zell wanted to bring it on themselves. I don't understand it.
Anytime there's ghosts around, you should try and make contact. If there's rumors of ghosts.
Yeah, because that works so well.
Anytime there's anything supernatural, if you don't at least try and, you know, try and contact it, you're doing yourself a disservice.
So, but the problem with this is it's like they live in this small town and their fellow people that live in this town hate it. They're like, listen, you guys are fucking making a mockery of our town. You're bringing all these fucking tourists. We want nothing to do with this shit. Right. And the Irvings are like, hey man, we're not profiting from this. We don't want them around. Right. Which is kind of weird. It's like, why would you? So if this is bullshit, if this is all some elaborate scheme, why not try and fucking monetize it somehow? Which they never did. Mm-hmm. How you like that, Dan? Put that in your pipe.
So wait, if there's no monetization, you're more inclined to believe it.
Yeah, fucking. Well, that's, buddy. What about the whole fucking Shermer or whatever his name case? Everybody's like, well, he never tried to sell it, so had to be real. Had to be legit.
So I'm still waiting for the evil part of this guy. I know there's some evil shit coming.
There isn't. Dan or Zell, he's part of the family now. He's based, listen to it this way. Instead of Harry and the Henderson, you got fucking Jeff the Talking Mongoose. So he's part of the family.
He conned his way into living in this family.
Yeah, he's your boy.
Was he do?
It's your boy Jeff.
Your boy Jeff.
It's your boy Jeff.
Just lives.
Yeah, but this whole time, they're still having all these reporters stop by. Jeff's not fucking with him. He doesn't want anything to do with these people. He's had like psychics, everybody come by and try to talk to him. And the only time he talks is when there's a family member missing from the room.
Oh, here's the twist I was waiting for.
Oh, great.
Ventriloquist.
They're like, this lady's like, listen, like, I came here all the way from South Africa, right? I just really want to talk to you. Talk to me and I'll leave. And then Jeff the Talking Mongoose says back to her, I hope your propeller falls off your plane. That's the only thing she reports says. And then Captain McDonald reaches out again. He's like, listen, I'm going to fucking come back. Because I want to talk to Jeff the Mongoose, but I'm only coming back if Jeff fucking promises me. And the only thing Jeff promises is,
If he comes back, the only thing I promise him is to smash his fucking windows.
That's the only thing he says. Jeff the Mongoose is a spicy little shit.
Sounds like it.
Jeff doesn't fuck around.
No. Yeah. Fucking don't step to Jeff. But the one thing he does say is he says, okay, listen. I'm a prove to this guy I'm real. I'm gonna tell him, I'm gonna give him some fluff, some fur from my tail, because everybody knows mongooses have fluffy tails. So he takes off a bunch of his fucking fur, pops it in Voiri's hand.
Then he gives him a little sign language, little double barrel as he fucking slithers back into the wall.
With one of his like three fingers.
Yeah, I know sign language. And he fucking flips in the fucking bird.
So double barrels him, plops a fucking load of fur in his hand.
No, he just pops up three fingers and he goes, read between the lines.
So McDonald comes, same shit. Doesn't say anything. Wants nothing to do with them. No big deal. But they take this fur and they're like, we're going to analyze this shit and see what's going on. Doesn't come back with a fucking doesn't come back as mongoose fur. It's not a squirrel. It's not a rat. It turns out it's dog hair from their sheep, the family sheepdog, Mona.
Oh, fuck, dude. That's so funny.
Yeah. So, but like, this is crazy. This story caught on with like national news. This story. So the BBC picked this up, and the guy who wrote the story ended up getting attacked by somebody else in the media being like, this guy's fucking full of shit. Why is he writing stories about Jeff the Talking Mongoose? So the guy sues him for slander, and it ends up going all the way up to the prime minister and gets addressed by him.
The prime minister has to address Jeff the fucking mongoose.
Yeah, and the guy who sued for slander ended up winning huge. But anyways, boys, you know what I mean? So we know this is obviously a real story.
I'm being
convinced. Obviously real.
I mean, it is a real story. It actually happened. Like,
what is it?
It is a story.
Yeah, and it is real. And it actually happened. I'm saying.
Is it a tulpa? Yeah. Is Jeff the Talking Mongoose a tulpa?
Of who?
Are you asking me like what?
I'm saying, is he a tulpa? Did they manifest this fucking creature into existence?
Are you asking me a creature?
No, that sounds like.
Did they put all their thoughts and hate and evilness?
A creature that only communicates to visitors when one other family member is out of the room at a time.
Yeah. I was just going to say, did I hear that wrong? Or was there actually always one family member out of the room?
Or the fucking daughter was covered in her mouth.
This is the greatest family prank ever pulled on society is what this is.
Well, dude, maybe this, like, the problem with this is this, like, ruined this family. They all were like, no, we're sticking with this. They long played this. So hard that it ruined all their lives. That voyeur lady, she never got married. She fucking stayed in the town. She was the fucking crazy cat lady. Nobody wanted anything to do with her. And like, they all took it to their dead bath.
Dead bath? They're all dead bath.
Yeah. They're,
deathbed.
Deathbed. There we go.
We found your photography.
Deathbeds. They all took it to their deathbeds, if you know what I mean.
They all took it to their dead baths.
Yeah. So, like, what do you think? Do you think maybe one day the dad was like, listen, you better fucking go to bed or Jeff the Talking Mongoose is going to come for you. And it's just like a long played fucking dad joke.
Well, here's the thing. Dan, well, I don't know if it was when we were kind of looking into it. Didn't someone say in our group chat that the mom or the dad or the daughter was a ventriloquist?
Well, that's one of the theories, or one of the more prominent theories, is that the dad was
it's the daughter. The reporters ended up saying that the daughter was a fucking talented ventriloquist, and that's why, like, when the one reporter witnessed her in the room when he was out of the room, and they heard Jeff the Mongoose, and she was covering her mouth. That's what he thought she was doing.
So it doesn't really, so the whole thing doesn't really surprise me that this girl who potentially came up with her own story about this, her imaginary friend, Jeff the Mongoose, went on to be, you know, as you so eloquently put, a crazy cat lady. Like, I mean, you're generally isolated from the population, you know, not really interacting with other children. It doesn't really surprise me that that's how things kind of turned out.
No. Someone's always out of the room.
I'm just going to say it. I'm buying in. Jeff's real. It's a real deal.
So where is he now? Where is he now?
I don't see any holes in the story at all. I see zero holes.
Has he attached himself to a different family?
I mean, he was already 85 years old. I mean,
wait, are you trying to say, Andrew, that maybe this is why you consider yourself part mongoose? Like, do you have a Jeff?
Because you're full of
are
shit.
You Jeff? Listen, hey! Jeff, Andrew, is this your way of telling us that you're Jeff the talking mongoose?
All I'm saying is this mongoose claimed to be from, you know, India, which is pretty close to where my ancestry is from. And my other side of my ancestry, you know, it's from Ireland, which is also pretty close. Maybe I'm a descendant. Maybe Voiry and Jeff had a little thing going on.
Like maybe you should work on your geography a bit, but maybe.
Maybe I'm a... What do you mean? Where am I off?
Lebanon and India? Not that close.
Yeah, they're pretty fucking close.
Lebanon and Ireland?
Yeah. Well, I'm saying the mongoose is from India and Voiry is from Ireland. And those are the exact same. So I'm half
you
Irish.
You are trying to say that you are Jeff, the talking mongoose.
And I'm a descendant.
A descendant?
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
I'm a descendant.
This makes sense.
Right? As Zell.
Checks out. I mean, yeah, sure.
Zell is a direct descendant of Vlad the Impaler. I might be a descendant of Jeff, the talking mongoose.
People keep saying on the stream that they can't. I'm translucent today. But on my screen,
I look pretty normal to me.
I look fine on my screen.
Yeah, you look pretty normal.
So I don't know what's happening.
I think what it is what I can explain this is with COVID, you know, there's not a lot of people out and about, and Zell hasn't had his, you know, regular feeding.
Lack of feeds?
I mean, Zell, I would tell you to look in a mirror and make sure you look okay, but you wouldn't see anything anyways.
I can see myself on the webcam, so I'm definitely not a vampire.
Yeah.
No. Well, no, what do you mean? Okay, just time to out with it. Just embrace it. We all know you are. It's fine. Good.
There's no evidence.
It's rule one. Rule one of being a vampire. You're not allowed to tell anyone.
No evidence. Hey, never can prove it.
Hey, everybody wonders where Mr. Conspiracy went.
What?
I think a lot of people wonder.
Am
if
I being?
Conspiracy is even
are
real.
You saying I drained his blood? Is that what you just accused me of? Loosely.
Maybe.
Let's not even kid ourselves. If Zell bit into that guy, Zell die.
Yeah.
I imagine his blood would come out like the fucking cranberry from like the can.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like all just
the big jelly.
It's all gelatinous and just like,
what's a power hour without talking about Mr. Conspiracy a little bit?
I miss that guy. Yeah. When's he coming? We try and do something one day with him again. It's tough though.
Yeah. He's out of town all the time now.
And we try to do it the one time with your two mics on the same system and it had the biggest delay. It was the fucking worst.
That was rough.
It was the worst. What other obscure cryptids? Zell, I know you wanted to get into some stuff.
I don't understand why you're saying other, because Jeff is definitely not obscure, but that's
well,
fine.
Sorry, I meant once we finished with, you know, first round draft
the
picks,
famed Jeff the Mongoose.
Famed, yeah, we were gonna fill up the rest of the hour that Jeff couldn't fill with the rest of the filth cryptids that
put some respect on that name.
All right, well, yeah. I have something. I dug deep and I found the true origin of Ogopogo.
Ogopogo!
It's nothing like you think. It's dark, sinister, full of death. But before that, I think we're going to take maybe just a quick beer break.
Woo! Woo! I don't know if I need one, but let's do it.
Yeah.
All right. We're back.
We're back.
We're back. We're back. Bitch.
Yeah! Perfect.
I actually drank myself out of beer. Last sip.
This is my last one.
I've got six more.
Attaboy. Anyways.
Oh, Dan, when can you come to Canada? We need another pod week so bad.
When the borders open back up.
Dan's never coming
sneak
back.
You in. Let's sneak you in.
When my an anatomically correct beaver costume comes in and I can swim across Lake Superior.
You should tell them that you're Puck from Alpha Flight because you pretty much look just like them.
That works. That would probably
Seriously,
work too.
You do.
That would probably work perfect. Too.
Just tell them you're driving to Alaska. But you're in.
Yeah. So the loophole. You're allowed.
The loophole.
Ha ha! Suckers.
There's been a few people got now, caught and been ticketed, but it's fun.
It's, before the break, we were talking about just going to get into the origins of Ogopogo. For those of you who don't know, in Kelowna, British Columbia, in the Okanagan Valley, there's a huge lake. And in that lake, ever since I was a kid, there's even a monument to it in City Park in Kelowna.
A monument? Is that what you're going to call it? A fucking monument?
Yeah, pull up the picture. That's a fucking monument.
Yeah, cool.
Pull up the picture.
Yeah.
I'll pull it up.
Please
all right.
Pull up. Please pull it up.
Ogopogo.
The monument to Ogopogo. Right? It's 100% a monument.
Yeah, okay.
What would you call it?
A fucking toy for kids to fucking crawl on.
Yeah, this one here?
And graffiti. It's a place for junkies to shit.
That is a dignified monument if I've ever seen one.
It's pretty dope,
thank
actually.
You, Dan.
If you're not watching on Patreon, it's a serpentine creature. They say between anywhere from 15 to 50 feet, depending on which account. A couple spikes on his back, and sometimes referred to as kind of like a horse or goat head with some mild antlers. It's a...
Wait, that's not the cool one, though. The cool one's the one that's in the bottom of the lake near the bridge.
Yeah, that one is cool.
That's fucking badass. Do you know about that one, Dan?
Which one, the statue?
No, why would Dan?
Thing?
Why would Dan?
Why would
know
Dan know about it?
I don't live there.
Because it was on a show. Don't you remember that?
I was on. Well, there's been on a couple shows actually. They had one. Well, Monster Quest came here in like 2011,
right?
And then one in the 80s. I can't remember what the show was, but that's what started the Ogopogo, the lore, and I'll get to it after I tell the terrifying origins of Ogopogo, actually.
Lay it on us, Zell.
Sure.
We're ready.
Okay, so
my body's ready.
A lot of people just claim Ogopogo is just a mythical beast in the sea, or in the lake here. But if you go back,
fools.
I dug deep into Kelowna history, and back in the first pioneers who stepped foot into the Okanagan Valley, home of the Silix Nation, are for the First Nations here, were the Silix people. In 1809, they were just pioneers, and they actually grew to know the land through, like, the First Nations. And they're the ones that passed on the story of Ogopogo.
Ogopogo. Ogopogo.
But actually, their Ogopogo, we'll get to in a bit, is actually not the real name. The real name is Nahahaitku. And that is the
Nahahaitku.
That's what they called it, and it was the spirit or the demon of the lake, depending on who's doing the translation. So upon the first pioneers arriving in about 1809, due to the fur trade and eventually later to Gold Rush, and then they started.
So you're saying it's just a bunch of coureurs de bois?
Yeah, the original guys, yeah, just pioneers.
Holy fuck, buddy. Did you pull that out of Social Studies 9 there, buddy?
De bois.
Fucking buddy, 8. Social Studies 8, bro.
Wow, good for you.
That's actually probably right around the same time as that, all that.
Don't get me started on Louis Riel, bud. Don't get me fucking started.
Anyways,
wow.
The first settlers, 1809, through a long and slow translation process, gathered from the First Nations that there was this creature, who at the time, Nahahaitku, was the guardian of the lake. And the story goes that the first settlers, upon learning about this, you actually had to make an offering to the creature to pass across the lake. But the first pioneers did not know about this agreement. They did not get the translation in
fucked
time.
Fucked up.
Poor bastards.
So as the, as the first up. Pre-Canadians portaged their canoes across the Great Okanagan Flats.
Gosh. Nice.
Portage.
Portage, a 75-kilometer flat patch of land, because there's no water here. It's a fucking desert, except for the lake. They portaged it. They entered into the lake, the very first ones. They started paddling across the lake, about 2.2 kilometers. About 1.1304 miles.
Jesus. Approximately.
As they
got it down, eh?
As they paddled, they noticed the water around them start to swirl and bubble with a serpentine shape surrounding their canoe.
Oh, shit.
Boom! From below, knocked off the canoe. Two fly The canoe tips. One lands on the canoe. He's still floating. As he looks over his left shoulder, the first man is enveloped.
enveloped
by a bubbling, like churning water.
Bastard.
As he's seen the serpentine figure take the first man down, he quickly tried to right his canoe. As he looked over his right shoulder, his other friend, taken in a whirling wrath of water and bubble, he makes it across the other side. Where upon reaching the First Nations people of the area, the Silix.
What the fuck was that? There's something in the water!
This was when this.
We told
this
you.
Is when the origin
Don't
started.
Don't go in the water! Don't go in the water!
Shoot her! Shoot her!
Clever girl.
Anyway, since that very first encounter, the name of Nahaha Iktu to slowly spread to other pioneers. And as the first settlement started in 1859 in Kelowna, British Columbia, the stories of Ogopogo, which now the settlers have started to call it through a actual English nursery rhyme of some weird kind, somehow it turned from Nahaha Iktu to Ogopogo. But at this time, people were so frightened of Ogopogo, thinking that this was right around the time the first paddle wheelers were starting. So a lot of people in the beginning of the settlement of Kelowna would not even travel in paddle wheelers for fear of being taken down by Nahaha Iktu. They would patrol the waters with muskets and later rifles looking for this creature. This is real shit.
Been here 32 years, never been in that lake once.
So ever since the first two deaths, no one had been taken. But as more and more people started to enter the water, the lair of Nahaha Iktu, one by one, people went missing. First, a brother and sister on a canoe never came back. As their parents went to go look for them, they never came back. As the uncle of the children, the brother of the man.
Isn't it funny, Andrew?
He never came back.
It's not a laughing matter.
The second brother, the uncles of the other side, and the aunts, and all the cousins, slowly, one by one, were taken as they searched for the rest.
He's vengeful with these families, like... I got a feeling, O'Doyle, that your whole family's going down.
These sightings continued of Ogopogo, the serpentine creature with a horse or goat head and sometimes antlers, continued until 1954 with the damming of the Okanagan Valley River system, which is actually part of the Columbia River system. Fun fact, I learned this. This is some real shit right here. I'd have no idea. In 1954, they started building a whole bunch of dams so we would stop flooding the United States. I just learned this the other day. We built all these dams, damming up the Columbia River. About 1954, and then later they were converted to hydroelectric. But ever since that waterway shut from the ocean, except for like small fish and salmon, there's been no further fatalities from Ogopogo or Nahaha Iktu.
Ogopogo.
It's funny because you pretend like you just learned this, but we all know that you've been alive way before this shit.
Yeah, but I didn't pay...
And you've experienced it all. We know it.
I didn't pay any attention to this part of the world because there's no people here.
So what you're saying...
fucking translucent, dude.
What you're saying is that when you put up the dams from the ocean...
The creature must have been out from the lake. It must have not have lived in the lake. They're saying actually... traveled the whole waterway. So when they started building the dams, it got trapped on the one side of the dam. And now where my 1 week of research really hit a brick wall is I could not get further down the chain of the Okanagan Valley into the States to get their records. So I cannot confirm that casualties are still not happening below the dams. I cannot confirm this.
I thought there was all these like hidden tunnels under Okanagan.
That is another theory, but it's just hard to, I unfortunately could not find those secret maps.
Well, you don't need to breathe, so why don't you just fucking swim down there and find the fucking tunnels?
Anyways, that's the untold history of Ogopogo.
Iktu.
Ogopogo.
Nahaha Iktu is the proper term.
You would know that because you were alive back
then. And now I will...
Man, it's terrifying. And, like, there's still, like, even to this day, I mean, probably once a year, twice a year, you will get reports of someone having video of, like, you know, an Ogopogo sighting or something. And there's a lot of big shit in that lake, man. There's some big sturgeon and shit, and...
There's also a lot of dead bodies in that lake.
Yeah.
That's also true.
And, like... I've seen, well, I don't know if it was a rogue wave or something, but I've definitely seen like that like serpentine like look before in the water. So it's.
Yeah, it was a log.
Yeah, maybe.
It was a log.
Maybe.
All I'm saying, I've lived here 32 years. Haven't been in a lake once. Not a chance. I'm not rolling the dice.
And snatch you out of your canoe.
Yeah, not rolling the dice.
And now,
A, I don't know how to swim. And B, I don't want to get fucking eaten. It's not worth it.
Makes sense.
Nothing to do with that.
Well, now I'm going to tell you the real story of Ogopogo really quickly.
Okay.
The reason.
This is all a lie until now.
Take it at what you will. But the real reason people thought Nahaha Iktu was a man-eating serpent fish is because sometimes the First Nations people, they actually referred to it as more of like a spiritual being, like the being of the water. And they would just. Because they respected the water and everything kind of had like a god figure, right? That was their god figure. But sometimes they would put like fish parts as like an offering, like the leftovers, but like just like metaphorically put it in there. But the Europeans seen this without knowing the language, and that spun it off into this beast for a long time.
What do you mean fish parts? They didn't sacrifice people?
As far as I could tell, they did not sacrifice any human beings to Nahaha Iktu.
Lame. That kills it.
And then in 1980, it was actually 1929, the first tourist board coined the name Ogopogo, turning into more of like a fantastical beast, kind of like a Loch Ness monster. And then it's been like Kelowna's main tourism thing. So many people have come here. They've had shows look for it. But the main theory of Ogopogo, besides like the native lore, is Braden said it, the waves at certain times in like spring and fall, like the density of the water is like there's like really warm water on top and really cold water, and it creates like a standing wave. No joke. It's still cool though. Ogopogo or not.
Yeah, it's really cool, but look at Braden's face. I can't take anything.
This is what I came across. And then the standing wave will take a serpentine shape in the water, but it won't really move. It's just kind of like the currents, like two different like flows of water. And then it will dissipate over like the next 20 minutes. But if from a distance, it looks like fucking Ogopogo, big serpentine fish.
How about the fact that one side of the lake is fucking glass, smooth as fuck. The other side is like fucking crazy.
Yeah, because that's where the secret tunnels come in.
Yes,
must be from the ocean. Right? We all notice that. You cross the bridge, you see, you look to your left and it's fucking garbage, crazy waves, nuts. Look, and then you look on the other side and it's fucking glass.
I saw Godzilla, King of the Monsters, and there is a large underwater tunnel system that goes through the planet and gets you to places in a very short amount of time.
Could be. I'm not going to.
And you saw this where? You saw this in the movie?
I saw this.
Or you saw it in real life?
In the movie theater. In real life in the movie theater.
I mean, I'll take it. I got just as much fucking facts that Ogopogo is a real thing that I do that fucking Bigfoot's real, that there's fucking aliens and any of that shit.
Aliens is more believable. You got a lot more. Well, you got a lot more stuff.
There's more proof. There's the government's not. Listen, the government's like the government didn't come out last week and was like, "Oh, hey, just to let you guys know that we have evidence of a giant serpent that's living in a lake in Canada."
I don't know about that though. They're like, listen, we might. When I read that thing, it's like we might have this, but we might not have it.
Look,
take it for what
Andrew,
it is.
You heard it from Zell. It's a major tourism pull. Why would they say that it? You know. Doesn't exist.
Yeah, that's fair.
Well, it's because it hasn't killed anyone since 1954, Dan. It's a lost
because
memory.
Because they've tamed it.
It's a lost memory.
Here's the thing, Zell. Here's the thing. All right? You say that. All right?
All right?
But here's the thing. there's been drownings in the lake.
Well, yes, people drowned. That's true. Ogopogo's drowning them.
They wrote them off as drownings.
Yeah. Right? They took the
I know
easy
one of the
out.
People that drowned. There's a- I know one of them. And they were orange level at fucking swim lessons. So they should have been able to
they
swim.
They should have been able to swim.
They should have been able to. I didn't get my
I
orange.
Do hear
they
of did. A lot of people going missing in Kelowna. Has nothing to do with organized crime. It's all to do with Ogopogo.
This is why you don't go into water where you can't see the bottom.
That's, dude, that's Okanagan Lake, though. You
and
can't
they,
see the bottom.
Don't, they call yeah, Okanagan Lake the bottomless lake because there's so much sediment that they're like, I guess, I don't know, do they have a tape measure they just push down? I don't know how they...
It's like a sonar, range depth that. Finder.
How about that show that came that we were talking about that fucking found the statue of the Ogopogo at the bottom of the lake? That's fucking crazy. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Can you cool. pull up a picture of that, Zal?
I don't think cool. I'd find the underwater one.
I bet you can.
Who am I, fucking Jamie from Joe Rogan?
Yeah. That's why you just no, don't go in water.
A fucking 15 million year old vampire. It. Yeah. I'm sure you can do
it. Oh, shit, I found it.
I lose my fucking yeah, mind. Zell. If I go anywhere wow. where there's you can't
wow.
see the bottom.
He found it.
Actually, I go nuts when it's like there's seaweed, like there's fucking plants. Like, ugh.
Oh, it touches you? I would shit my pants if I saw that.
That's pretty
That's
cool.
That's a serpent head.
There's the little, is that it? There's the statue
terrifying.
One.
Terrifying.
No, that's a serpent head one. If you're not looking, it looks just like an Ogopogo, like a Gyarados from Pokemon.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Looks nothing like a Gyarados, actually.
That's
but
pretty close.
It does look like a Seamon. That looks nothing like Gyarados. What are you talking about?
Gyarados.
Yeah, have a look. That's got like a horse face. Gyarados does not have
Dude, he's got
face.
The little antlers and shit. What are you talking about?
That looks nothing like Gyarados. Looks nothing like
Gyarados. Fucking you same creature. Like That's what Ogopogo is. Gyarados.
Gyarados is flat faced.
And some of these. Some of them's got more of a
Zell
beak.
Zell is now pulling up pictures of Gyarados.
I am.
If you're listening to this.
It's a awesome Listen. Pokemon if you have never played it way back in the
it
day.
It is a good Pokemon.
Or maybe still be playing it. I don't know.
It's a ridiculous combination of both water and flying, which makes no sense.
Makes no sense
Listen,
at all.
Ogopogo did not evolve from a Magikarp, okay?
It's also true.
We know this.
There are no Magikarps in Okanagan Lake.
Hey, my last quick point about Ogopogo, last theory.
Are there carps in there?
No carps, no, but...
Okay.
Last theory, Ogopogo was a white sturgeon. And this actually makes a lot of sense because back in the 50s, they built the first floating bridge and the divers could have swore they seen sturgeon. But then in 50s...
Those things are creepy looking. They
Dude,
are
we have,
fucking crazy
We have sturgeon
looking.
In our lake right now.
No, there's never been one caught.
What? Really?
Really. But this is the theory is because the Okanagan Lake through the river system actually connects to the Columbia River, which is abundant of sturgeon, before all the dam systems, it's very plausible that a sturgeon could have lived in the whole river system. But in
that's fucked. I swear I've seen a sturgeon.
But because they're cut, it's not a fast moving because they usually live in like a river, like a fast moving place. So they usually swim through a lake to get to the next river or whatever. But because the dams happened, there's no more rivers. If they came to the lake, they would probably end up dying because of lack of food. So they
Dude,
think
sturgeons look like cryptids, like those fucking dinosaur exact. Fish. Like, fuck.
And they're so long, right? They're so long that if it was swimming,
they're huge.
If it was swimming,
so big.
If it was swimming on the surface, it would look serpentine because it's so long. By the time it swam, it kind of would look serpentine. So a lot of people think it was at a time sturgeon. Then they dammed the whole system, and then they died out, and then that has been the myth. But or he's Crazy. Been eating people since 1809. Take it at you.
I'm fucking. I swear I've seen a sturgeon before.
They have giant, like,
It must have been Ogopogo. No, I was standing on a dock one time.
Oh,
that's nah, a fucking giant do. Fish swam under a fucking dock, and I ran away.
Oh, swimming. They have huge, like, bottom feeders.
Ugh. Oh, whatever it was.
Like
it was
a giant catfish, yeah.
Fucking shit my pants.
Catfish are gross, too.
Yeah, they freak me out. What about those fucking guys that catch them with their hands?
Oh. And noodling?
Noodling, yeah.
That's crazy. Those noodling bastards.
I heard about that. I felt like shred on a guitar. Like,
I thought that's when you catch it with your dick.
You look like somebody who catches fish with their dick right now. I fully believe that with your straight out of Deliverance over here.
Yeah, I've Whoa. What is that?
What's that noise?
What's
that?
Going on?
Hello? Skynet.
Skynet?
What happened? What was it?
It's clicking. Interference.
All right, well,
is it me?
Is it could
me?
Be
me.
I don't know.
All right. Well, I gotta. You know, I know we're coming up. It's power hour, so we don't have.
Now, let's keep going a little bit. Off, who cares?
But I got one. This cryptid that I'm about to talk with. Del, do you have any creepy music you can play in the background?
Oh, you damn right I do. 1 second.
Oh, fucking right.
Right.
Lay it on us.
This is what I'm about to talk about. This is true. Everything I'm about to tell you is true.
Happened to a friend of a friend of yours?
Nope. I'm waiting for the music to cue.
You don't hear it? It's going.
I don't hear it. All right. So I'll just take, I don't hear it, but maybe it's on the stream. I don't know. Okay. It's this cryptid that I'm about to talk about. We all know that there's been crazy experiments done, you know, with humans and animals making, you know, strange humanoids.
Yeah, the island of Dr. Zhivago.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Moreau, but whatever.
And this.
Same thing.
Yeah. The bridge over the River Kwai. Right? That's what we're talking about.
Yeah. That's right. So, yeah.
The what I'm about to talk about here, this cryptid has been haunting and prowling and terrifying the state of Virginia for years. Every Halloween. You've heard of other humanoid cryptids such as Goatman and other man/beasts, but none as terrifying as what haunts Virginia, especially around the Colchester Bridge every year around Halloween. And that is the humanoid that is known as the most terrifying combination of human and any animal that I could possibly think of. Bunny Man.
Not Bunny Man.
Yes, Bunny Man. That's exactly, you were right. That's what I'm talking about here. So,
that's terrifying.
Do we need to take him? Should we take a moment? Everyone collect for themselves?
For Bunny Man, I'm on the edge of my seat.
Just going to let your heart beat back in your, climb back in your chest.
So like let's do this. That'd be a good matchup for Jeff the Mongoose.
This one's a good one. I like this because it's a half urban legend, half cryptid. Because half the cryptids are like, this thing's a fucking half bunny, half man, fucking murdering people at this bridge. It comes out every Halloween and it guts people like a rabbit. And then I'm like, why would a rabbit gut people like a rabbit? Like, is that like, is, what's the difference? Like, I mean, what's the difference between gutting a rabbit and gutting a deer? Like, what? I didn't understand that aspect of it, but I was like, all right. I was sold on Bunny Man. So the rest of it didn't matter to me.
That's fair. So,
Bunny Man, you've got me. I'm done.
Yeah.
Like, that's it.
I was hooked. I could overlook every other detail after Bunny Man. But there's been like, there's been tales of brutal murders of like teenagers going to this bridge and getting their throat slit. Right, and gutted, and every Halloween this thing comes out. Now, half the stories are of this cryptid in Virginia, which is funny because Dan's actually lives very close to this.
Interesting.
It is 20 minutes from where I live.
Right, Dan? So how prevalent, like how, on a daily basis, how concerned are you about Bunny Man?
Not very. When I grew up, Bunny Man was a urban legend. When I grew up, like in high school, it's probably the first time I heard about Bunny Man Bridge, and it's always been there. It's 20 minutes away. I know people who have been there and drove there to go look at it. Like it's an urban legend. I don't know how much it classified it as a cryptid because I always, from what I gathered, just remembering off the top of my head, it was always about like some sort of serial killer, like it's more like so that.
That is exactly right. It's it started with like in 1905 sometime. A group of teenagers found a body hanging on that bridge, and then all of those teenagers were murdered afterwards having their throat slits, and they had the long cuts out their abdomen, gutted like a bunny. And that was kind of where the urban legend or the cryptid started, right? And the bunny man usually attacks people in Virginia Halloween. That's his.
All I'm saying. All that's I'm where saying
he
comes. Right now.
That's where he you know, that's where. Here's he hops question, to Braden. It.
Have you ever seen Bunny Man and Dan in the same room?
Fucking cracked it.
That's all I'm saying.
Dan lives 20 minutes away.
That's all I'm saying.
Every one of us is getting outed as a cryptid. I started with a vampire. Now Dan is now Bunny Man. Andrew is a mongoose. Talking fucking wall
I've
mongoose.
I've seen Dan jump. He's got fucking hops for a little dude.
I don't have any bunny ears.
Why you're always wearing hats.
Oh, that's
you're
true.
I always wear hats. True. Big headphones.
Some people say this story is like of a humanoid, like some sort of half rabbit, half man experiment gone bad. But there is also like a more, you know, of that it's an escape mental patient who wears a rabbit suit. You know, and the story goes that, you know, police were searching for in the area after all these murders, and they found a footprint in the mud, and the footprint said, "You'll never find me, and you know it too."
Signed Wait, that's what the bunny footprint man. Said?
There was a note. Yes, it was in the footprint. The note was in what? The footprint. Dan,
you dropped
Wait,
the note.
Like, so like there was a piece of paper in the footprint that said that.
All right, hold on. Let me pull it up.
Also
let me read it.
A hole. Was there a
this
hole
is
in
the
ground?
Quote. I will quote. It said. As the police were still searching, they saw a footprint in the mud, and in the footprint it said, "You will never find me. You know it too." Signed, the Bunny Man.
Listen, okay. All you fucking have to do is take a wrong turn at Albuquerque, and you're going to find that bastard.
Now, here, this is the weird thing, right? So, now, the weird thing about this one is that there is also, like, official police reports of, like, people being, like, in isolated areas and, you know, hanging out in their cars, you know, a couple teenagers making out at the lookout, getting steamy.
The make out point.
And someone will run up point and smash a window and say, "Get out of here, you're trespass, I'm gonna kill you," right? Like, "You're messing up my property, get out of here right now." And, like, these people look and, like, see someone, and they see someone wearing what they think is they report to police a rabbit like a bunny costume. And it's even gone so far as that, like, when these people go to the police, they're like, "Look," and there's a hatchet in the backseat of the car. So it's like there is some weird, like, weird bunny shit going on in Virginia.
Right? Some weird bunny shit.
What do you mean? Like, he's like a curmudgeon? He's like, "Get off my lawn, you
piece get out of
shit.
Here, I'll fucking kill you.
Sick of your shit. You guys got any carrots?"
But there's been a couple official police reports of people in rabbit suits harassing people with a hatchet or a machete. So
here's my question: how good are they at basketball? Would they be able to help us beat the aliens in Space Jam?
The Monstars? Probably not.
Yeah,
probably not.
No,
that's some bullshit.
Yeah, fuck them then. We don't need them.
So, Dan, it surprised me, Dan, it surprised me that you haven't heard it. There's even a movie that's been
convenient.
Made about Bunny Man called...
I told you,
convenient.
I was like, there's at least like one or two movies made about
Bunny Man. Yeah, there's one called Bunny Man convenient. Massacre.
Yeah.
Starring Maester Daniel.
No. Yeah.
The Bunny Man.
But that's
written
and
directed
by
Maester Daniel.
there's not that one. I was like looking into Obscure. I was like, "Bunny Man." I was like, "This is the fucking dumbest shit I ever heard." I was like, "That's like Goat Man that we had when we were growing up." Like,
there's definitely a couple movies that come across. It's like, yeah, I'm always looking on the you know, bad horror movies, and it's like Bunny Man always comes across there. I'm like, I'm not gonna watch that one.
I'm gonna watch Velociraptor instead.
That's Velocipaster.
Or Velocipaster.
Yeah. Bad. No, I try to. That's really bad. That's not even. It's not even good bad.
No, it wasn't good. It was bad.
It's bad.
It wasn't. Dan, have you seen Rock and Roll Nightmare?
Rock and Roll Nightmare? No.
Yeah. Starring Vancouver, BC's own Thor.
Oh, maybe.
Oh, man. If you don't know who Thor is, you need to YouTube Thunder on the Tundra. Fucking. pounds. We'll play it on After Hours. It fucking rocks.
Oh, yes. Beauty. Music. No, can't play it now.
Yeah, but you can play it on After Hours, can you?
Yeah, maybe.
Before we wrap this one up, Dan, did you have a quick one?
What, a quick one?
No, yeah. He's all clammed up now. You've outed him as Bunny Man. He wants nothing to do with it. He's done. He's actually quit the podcast now.
Deflect. Deflect.
That's it.
Yeah. Well, if I have to go through one real quick, I mean, I was like, what?
I'm definitely not Bunny Man.
The Big Muddy. Welcome to the Big Muddy Monster from Murfreesboro, Southern Illinois.
Oh, so what the fuck, Dan? Ooh. I call you out, you call me out?
Yeah, when was the last time you were in Southern Illinois, Brayden?
As a matter of fact.
No comment.
You do look a bit muddy. I will say that.
So this cryptid comes from, is supported by a number of actual official police reports that came from Murfreesboro Police Department. And the sightings of this creature span between the ones that you will hear about took place between June 25th, June 26th, 1973. And then also there are also sightings that span all the way into like 1991. There's a couple ones in 1976. The one that...
Because I was a little concerned there because it was 2 days. I was like, oh, that needs to be more than 2 days.
So some people, when they talk about this one, the report that they mostly talk about is the first report that came in just before midnight on June 25th. And this report was filed by Randy Needham and Judy Johnson, who were dating at the time. And these two, this story is like a setup for your classic like 1970s, 1950s like horror movie. You know, two young teenagers out at Makeout Point,
and then fornicating.
Unmarried teenagers getting into the, you know, nitty gritty, and the theremin music comes in. You hear the. They had parked near a dock on the southwestern edge of Riverside Park, next to the woods. And now these two, Randy Needham, was not so much in the good graces of Judy Johnson's father. Like, he strongly disapproved of Judy dating Randy, which that comes into play later. So now while they were there, probably either getting hot and heavy or whatever, doing what teenagers do out at the Makeout Point, they heard this loud screaming sound from the wooded area. And they observed what seemed to be some sort of large creature, which they approximated at being about 7 feet tall. And this, from what they saw, this creature appeared to have some sort of light-colored hair, anywhere between white and gray, and seemed to be matted with mud. So that kind of is where the name, they just began calling it the Big Muddy Monster. And it was... From what they could tell when they observed it, they said it was walking on two legs and it was proceeding towards the car. And so Randy was like, you know, fuck this shit, I'm out. So he starts the car, doesn't spare any time, fucking speeds off. And they managed to make it to the police department at around it was nearly midnight, according to the police reports. And what makes this report actually so... or lends credibility to the report is that because Randy and Judy were together, like them actually reporting this sighting exposed them, right? They were kind of meeting in secret. It wasn't so much like, you know, they put themselves at risk to actually report this to the police. So after they told this story to the police, you know, this fantastic story of this 7 foot creature coming out of the lake or whatever, out of the woods near there, two police officers went back with Randy to look for this monster, to search for it. When they got there, they searched this area with flashlights and they spotted these tracks, what seemed to be tracks in the mud, which were about 3 to 4 inches deep and about 12 inches long. Now, when you look at these pictures, they have these actual pictures on the internet. If you search it, Murfreesboro Muddy Monster, they have the actual pictures from the police report. And when you look at them, some of them look a little bit like, I don't know. When I look at them, they look kind of like claw marks. They look like maybe one large or three large claws kind of digging into the mud in the side of a lake bank or whatever. But when they got there, it was about 2 a.m. while these officers were searching the area. And even while they were searching the area, they heard this sound. They heard this screaming coming from the woods near the lake again. And Randy was with them. With the officers, and he said, "That's it, that's the thing."
Oh shit!
And they ran
all
back.
I'm saying,
they said they ran.
This is why. This is why I practice abstinence. That's it. That's why. That's what.
This is why they ran. And then they ran back to the cars. They said they ran back to the cars, and they kind of just spotlighted the whole area, just waiting for people to kind of show up, and you know if they could, you know, get out of there, but. After that, they didn't seem to be seeing anything after that. Now, the very next evening, the police were called out again to a place called Westwood Hills, which was near this area, in the same area, same jurisdiction as the Murfreesboro police. And they got another report that two teenagers who were sitting on the back porch had spotted another tall, white-haired, hairy creature in the field just at the edge of the woods near their property. So the officers who actually responded to the call said they went and looked, and they talked to some of the, at least one of the children who had been there and who had sighted this thing, saying they had seen something at the edge of the woods and that it had traveled down the footpath through the bushes and
jeez,
it was gone.
Nope,
you know,
that. Fucking Yeti. Gone.
They called in Jerry Nellis, who is a member or an officer of the Carbondale Police Department at the time, and he was a trained dog handler, and he actually brought a tracking dog who was a German Shepherd trained as an attack dog and tracking dog. And they said that they brought the dog and it tracked the scent of this creature, whatever it was, you know. They also remarked on some kind of scene, kind of like a black slimy substance on like some of the trees and some of the bushes in the area. And they said that when this dog got to tracked the scent to a barn. But once they got to the barn, the dog wouldn't go inside.
Yeah. Oh. Neither would I.
Hell no.
Fuck that. The dog's
guy's
like,
he's not even getting paid.
Yeah. The dog's, you know, like, I mean? Like, you go in.
This dog probably
there's not listen, enough dog's, Scooby snacks in the world.
Exactly. To go. I was like, he's probably there. Not getting Scooby snacks.
Bro.
Fuck, not happening, bro. Fuck that.
So now the next month, July 7th, 1973, right? These other ones took place in June 25th and 26th. In the very next month, the Murfreesboro Police Department got another call from a citizen, Bert Miller, who is the owner of Miller Carnival, who operated out of the area. Now, he had actually flagged down police officers to make a report. He reported that at 2 a.m. that day, a couple of his workers, his employees, had sighted this mysterious some type of creature, right? And Miller had actually hesitated to report the event because, of course, like, you know, any good horror movie would start out, he feared losing customers that day. You know,
of course.
Don't tell anybody about it or nobody will come to the... It's like fucking Jaws 3. Like, it's,
yeah, like, the mayor. We can't close the beaches.
We need these people fucking playing skeetball, all right? Don't fuck with that shit.
Fucking set. Like, these are just classic setups for fucking horror movies. Like, I just, like, you watch this, so like, this is real horror movie stuff. So, you know, he recounted to police officers that at 2 a.m, four of his employees had heard some of the ponies that they had that they owned, the carnival owned, making a ruckus and attempting to pull free from their where they had been tied, like a couple of trees and bushes where they had been tied out near the outskirts of the carnival trucks and stuff on the backside of the where they operated. Now, when the workers moved around to see what was going on, what was making the disturbance around these carnival trucks, they reported seeing some type of creature that they described to be about 7 to 8 feet tall with light brown hair
muddy.
All over the body.
Muddy as shit.
Muddy. Just muddy everywhere. Like, we're talking Toxic Avenger fucking muddy.
Yeah. Yeah. They estimated this being thing weighing about muddy. 300 to 400 pounds. one curious thing that they did remark about was that this creature seemed to be interested with the ponies. Like, it seemed to be curious about these ponies, just kind of looking at them or whatever.
That is fucking weird.
Guy's been to too many fucking pony shows. Yeah.
So but the thing is, though, if you go and look at some other
ponies?
Reports about, well, if you go and read about some other reports about Bigfoots or, you know, hairy hominid sightings and their interactions with horses, you get the kind of same thing that the either the horses are kind of, you know, they're creeped out by this thing because the horses are making ruckus, but also that these hairy hominids have some sort of interest with the horses, these four-legged creatures that maybe they've never seen or they don't have a chance to really interact with all the time.
They're just sliding in.
Yeah. Here's my question. Who's cleaning up all this mud? Who's cleaning up all the mud?
The carnies, dude. The carnies.
Yeah, it's a shit job for carnies, man.
So the workers said that they went to go report this to Miller, you know, the operator of the carnival, and he said by the time he got there, it was gone. Then around 3 o'clock that morning, just an hour later, the creature reappeared, reported by another carnival worker, by a single carnival worker. And again, he was hovering around these ponies for some reason. And then Miller went to go check it out. Creature was gone. And from what the police could find, no footprints, almost no evidence of this thing had ever been there.
So what you're saying is Clayface is responsible for the death of the Flying Graysons. Case closed.
Yes.
That's it. Done. Close the books.
I like that connection.
There you go.
The old muddy connection.
It's obviously fucking Clayface. It's obviously Clayface.
How come they didn't call Clayface Old Muddy?
They should have.
Yeah.
Way better Bob Kane.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's a definitely obscure cryptid, but I think it's one of the more interesting ones because there are actual police reports, official police reports of, you know, patrolmen having to actually write this down. And they did refer to it later, like 1976, there were a couple other sightings like 3 years later, and they referred to it as people being like, they claimed that they witnessed the old muddy monster or whatever. It's like them writing, actual police officers writing this stuff down. It's got to be really funny.
Listen, it's fucking Pigpen. He grew up, he got really fucking tall, and has a serious issue with fornicators.
Hey, yeah. listen up. If you're listening to this, you come to an ATT meetup, we go out to a bar, you're going to meet Old Muddy.
Oh, the days where we can do that again. That'd be fun.
All right. Well, that's been a power hour and a half. So let's, why don't we wrap this one up?
Yeah, we'll save, we got a lot of patrons. We're going to save you for next week. 150, case file 150 back. And, you know, every once in a while, you got to do a little power hour where you have a few beers. And
yeah, it's got to
let loose.
Let loose a bit.
I don't even remember what we were talking
about.
All right, guys.
We had a good run.
Let's, as we always say at the end of these things, keep those eyes on the sky.